This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. So I have one of my faults, one of many, is that I get really perturbed about misspelling. And if somebody sends me an email or a letter, it registers in the back of my mind, and I get real judgmental. And I know it's wrong. I'm completely admitting my error here. I have my brothers and sisters. Two of my sisters are self-professed horrible spellers. They wouldn't mind me telling you that. I love them dearly. I trust them dearly. I misspell words myself, so you would think I would know better. But I don't. So I still have this judgmental kind of snootiness about it. Well, this week, in a meeting, I got an amazing insight. I hope you'll think it's amazing. Because of a misspelled word. Okay, so the word appeared in this document for altar, right? A-L-T-A-R, like what we have before us here, except it was misspelled as A-L-T, what, E-R, right? Two very, very different words. Or are they? Or are they? And here's where I had a bit of a comeuppance about it, for God was teaching me, if not everybody else, through my judgment and through this misspelled word. Because I began to think about it and did a little research, and the word altar in the original Hebrew comes from a word that means to slaughter. Yeah, right? To slaughter. Because that's what they did. They thought in ancient days that they had to slaughter an animal, and they would bring it before the altar, and they would go through this big ritual, and that was common in ancient days, in biblical times. So, too, the word in Greek means a place of sacrifice. Okay, they believed that it was where the divine and the human met. And in Christianity, we use our altar for that which is sacred to us. The symbolism of the candles for the light of Christ. The bread, the wine, the water of Holy Communion, the gospel. Right? We hold things sacred. We place them on the altar. Now, this word alter, A-L-T-E-R, as we know, means to change something, right? We can alter a dress if we want to make sure that it fits just right, or a suit. We can alter the facade of a building to make it look differently. We can alter our consciousness with alcohol or drugs or dehydration or not enough sleep, or something alters our minds on purpose because we realize the need for a new perspective, a new way of being, something that needs to be shifted. Jesus, in our gospel story today, altered the man with the unclean spirits. He changed him, healed him forever. Jesus had just begun his ministry. He had been baptized in the River Jordan by John. He had gone out into the wilderness and been tempted by the devil and overcame it. Then last week we hear on the Sea of Galilee, by the Sea of Galilee, he called the first four disciples to come because he knew he needed a community. He knew he could not do this work alone, just like we can't. He called them, and now they go into Capernaum. And Jesus enters the synagogue, and he just begins teaching. he begins teaching, and with such authority, they couldn't believe it. I mean, he must have just been electrified, you know, so charismatic that everybody sat up and took notice because they let him just continue to teach. And then he heals this man with the unclean spirit. We don't really know what was wrong with this man. Some theologians believe that to call something and have someone be called and having an unclean spirit can mean that they are just unruly. It can mean that they're mentally ill, hot-tempered, or an individual with bad intentions or who is inclined to do evil. Near Easterners in the days of Jesus considered any impulse to do wrong as unclean. So we aren't quite sure what was going on with this guy, but we know that he was really mouthy and really making fun of Jesus, mocking him. And Jesus says, be silent and come out of him. It's like a parent, you know, in a car with the kids. Enough! Right? And the spirit came out of him, altered him, healed him. So my sisters and brothers, what I propose for today from this gospel is that we enter the synagogue with Jesus, that we enter this holy place, this moment, and we begin to think and to notice and to ponder what within ourselves needs altering. What is unlike God within us? And we've all got that. What is it that we want to be able to alter in our own lives and in society? And then, what are we going to place on the altar before God? Maybe it's something as small as me getting all judgmental about spelling. Could be something that little. Maybe it's a really awful something that one of us has done, as we all do from time to time. Maybe we've been idolizing physical appearance, or we've been spending so much time at work and avoiding family. Maybe that's it. Each one of us has to answer that for ourselves. And it's important to challenge ourselves to change ourselves. I was coming out of the gym the other day and I saw this sign. If it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. I love that. I love that because it's really true. It was good that I saw it coming out instead of going in. And also in our society, because we all affect that. What we do within our own beings affects those closest to us, and then in our families, and then the communities, and then in the world. Believe it. What you do affects all. Affects all. Like the way we idolize celebrities and sports figures. God knows we sure pay them an insane amount of money. Am I right? As compared to what we pay teachers or nurses or those who work with child abuse victims or people in welfare or the elderly. It's really crazy. It's really topsy-turvy, upside down in our society. We all contribute to it, myself included. More than 110 million people will turn into the Super Bowl today. We'll tune in to the Super Bowl today. That's a third of the U.S. population. If you want to have an ad in the Super Bowl, 30 seconds, guess how much? Guess how much you have to pay? $4.5 million. $4.5 million for 30 seconds of airtime. So when we're all watching those ads today, and we all love them, they're all awesome, they're all great. They're putting that much money in because they're hoping that we're going to go buy that new BMW. They're hoping that we're going to do exactly what they tell us to do. That's a lot of money. Now, I'm going to be at a Super Bowl party later today, and I'm going to have a really good time with my friends. So I'm not saying we aren't supposed to enjoy it. I'm just saying that there's something wrong with the money part. I don't have the answer, but God does. I think we can lay that on the altar. And so for 30 seconds, really, just 30 seconds right now, I'd like us to take a minute in closing and get really quiet. And if you'd like to close your eyes, Let's enter that synagogue with Jesus Christ as we pray. We lay before you now, O God of healing and compassion, our troubles, our hopes, our fears, our praise and gratitude. We bring them into the silence. Show us your healing, Lord. Thank you for altering us more and more into your likeness, your awareness, into our true selves in you. Amen.